You're listening to Rockland World Radio, heard around the world. Hence, Rockland World Radio.
Rockland World Radio. We put the rock in Rockland.
Well, there's my microphone.
There you are.
Okay, my voice is in your ears. This is Film Rocks, and I'm filling in for Deb Shufelt, who's home nursing and making sure she doesn't get any more ill. But I'm here with Mark Marshall. And
John Herson.
John Herson. Blank for a second there. And we're here to discuss the making of Mark Marshall's Angelina video. Why don't we listen to the song first, and then we'll
Sounds
come back.
Good to me.
All
Absolutely.
Right. That's what we're going to do. That's why I'm watching the video. All right, here we are. This is the Angelina video. You'll be hearing it. You can see it at markmarshall.com.
Yep. If you go to the here page, you'll see about midway down the page, there's a link that says watch the first video from the album, and that's it.
And there you go. You can watch what we're listening to.
Angelina.
Angelina and Mark Marshall.
Thank you. It's me.
Singer and songwriter of that track. And we're here to discuss the video. And gentlemen, we have the two creative forces behind this video here. And this video, we just watched it. And you can see it at markmarshall.com if you just click on the watch this video.
Yeah, actually, if you go to the here section, H-E-A-R, that's where there's audio from the album and the whole bit. And yeah, there's a link about halfway down that page.
And you'll see that that video is shot almost entirely on the streets of Nyack.
Yeah, well, mostly Nyack and a little bit in Haverstraw.
In Haverstraw.
It is a Rockland-based production, no two ways about it. And
right.
It is absolutely guerrilla filmmaking at its best.
Well, let's get to this interview because we're going to we don't have much time here. So I've got a list of questions that I've got to get to. And we've had some emailed in because they knew you were coming. So without any further hesitation or delay, let's get to first, how was this project commenced? How'd the long and winding road lead you two together?
Okay, well, I've been working on this album for about 2 years, and this song was for those of you who actually go watch the video, the dream that is communicated in the video actually happened to me. This whole story happened to me, and I wanted to make a video of it, so I spent I would say, now obviously not 8 hours a day, this is a 4-minute video, but I spent probably 5 months going back and forth on originally, you know, a rough treatment and then an outline and then just starting to do shot lists and all that. And in the meantime, I'm actually living in Haverstraw now, but I was living in Nyack at the time, and John had posted online looking for someone to help him make props for an independent film he was making. And seeing as I work from home and I had nothing but time on my hands, not really, but I firmly believe in supporting fellow artists, you know, and keeping that artistic tradition alive. And, so I got in touch with him and said, yeah, sure. He wanted some books made. And it actually ended up that I did a little bit more than that. I also did, I did some photography for the book covers and I did some off-screen voices. And so that's how John and I met. And then what had happened was when it came time for me to start really seriously considering making the video, I was like, hey, you wouldn't happen to know anybody. And, you know, and John had a camera. And I have to say, John wasn't the only person who shot this video. The video was shot in two separate segments. Part of it was shot in Nyack, and part of it was in Haverstraw. But I have to say that John did the dangerous work. The stuff in Haverstraw was almost entirely in controlled circumstances. In John's case, it was literally we had somebody else driving, Tom Allori. Hey, Tom, if you're out there. Tom drove around his SUV while John hung out the window with his camera. And at some point when we got to the point where we were filming me walking around in the street, there's John actually walking with his back into traffic on Main Street in Nyack during a busy, you know, busy time.
And some belligerent Nyack street thugs.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
So, John, you did not know what you were getting involved in. Had you done a music video before?
No.
No, so
nope.
This is your first music video endeavor.
And
yes. Obviously you were willing to hang your head out the window of a backwards in a moving vehicle.
You know, Mark told me that there was going to be some stunts involved.
Acrobatics. Didn't realize you were going to be the cameraman being the stuntman. But oftentimes that is the case.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, John, where did you derive and draw your inspiration from in your vision for this project?
My inspiration came from the 7 or 8 rounds of storyboards that Mark sent me with very detailed instructions for the shots that he wanted. So I was very much just running the camera. Mark was the visionary behind the entire thing.
Okay. Do you have any?
I just want to interrupt John for a minute because that's not entirely true. It is true, and this is, you know, when Deb had originally asked us to do the show, one of the things she said was she wanted to explore the idea of low budget video. And I have to say that one of the biggest things you can do is pre-plan. I mean, I had an Excel spreadsheet for every single bar of the song. If I didn't have an exact description of a shot, I at least had the emotional content, so I knew what I was going for. But, you know, then once you do all that planning, you kind of have to let go, and you just go, okay, once you're out in the street, you know, now I can't see in the viewfinder. I can't be both places. I can't be, you know, I'm not George Clooney. I don't have a cast. I don't have a crew of 150 sitting around me. So I literally, there are going to be times when I'm walking around in the street and John's going to say, move a little to the left, move a little to the right. Oh, wait, that looks really good. Why don't you go over there? You know, that's the parts that are electric that you can't control, that you can't script.
Well, he's trying from his angle to create the image that was, you know, communicated to him.
Absolutely.
Pre-shooting.
Absolutely.
And it makes it easier in the, at the end to have this scripted out, so it makes the editing much more.
Yeah,
the editing. Yeah, Mark edited that that thing in about a week.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I went through multiple rounds. But again, for those of you, and honestly, look, in terms of working low budget, and I don't mean low quality. I want to, you know, state there's a categorical difference between the two. Is it, you know, somebody to talk to about really having to be in the trenches and make a film low budget? This is the man over here.
So what would if someone would pose the question on how long it takes to make a music video?
That it depends. It look see one yeah. one of the
no, well, okay. Let's say if, well, if one it, was it, if one was trying to do one efficiently yet quickly, I mean,
you could do it in an afternoon. It depends on what you're going for. The point, mm-hmm. Look, the other thing I have to say too is, for those of you who haven't seen it, there is no performance aspect in this. It's a short film.
There's there's no right and or wrong answer.
Right. No, I understand. But in this case, I mean, the shooting was all of 10 hours, 11 hours. Because and that, again, that goes to the heart of it is look, if you're doing a performance thing with a band. It's a band. You go up there, you shoot it from 90 million angles, you go, oh, this is great, fine, you take it back and you edit it up. But, you know, we were trying to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires a lot more pre-thought. And so in terms of making it, well, it depends on how you define making it. You know, whether it's just planning it on paper or whatever.
But when you just, for the audience, when you say there was no performance aspect to this, you just meant that there were no shots of you actually singing the song.
I should clarify that. There is no musical performance in this. I definitely acted in this, but there's no you know, lip syncing. There's no okay third round because the bass player wasn't playing the right, you know. Excuse me.
Okay.
So the answer to your question, though, I think is...
depends.
If you have the song finished, you can make a video in a day. You can make a video in a year.
Okay, as my significant other, Tiffany, would say, it's more complicated than that.
Yes, many, many levels. We'll have to look into it. All right, from both of you, what's your favorite part about making a music video?
The trucks did go by. When you, that's really hard. Thank you. Getting direction on mic technique here. That's really hard. I really loved planning it. And part of it was because, you know, this is a personal experience for me, and the song does tell a story. I have to say the thing that was the best in the end was the editing process for me. That was the most, I mean, because as I've gone through, and folks have to bear in mind, I've been sitting on the song for a year and a half. I spent like 5 months with it on paper, and John said, I mean, I drew little storyboards out, right? Then I scanned them into my computer. Then I started putting, you know, captions and you know. So I spent a lot of time doing this. And when it comes to that point where all of a sudden you start seeing it actually come into fruition on a screen in front of you, there is something magical about that. But there's also the electricity of the day when people show up with cameras and you know, you start tearing your apartment apart to move lights and... So it's a tough call. Shooting it was fun, but editing it was...
I would agree. Editing is the most fun because there's a lot of stress when you're shooting it that you know, you're getting everything that you think you're going to need. But once you're sitting in front of the computer and looking at the images if you're somewhat happy with them, then you're excited because now you can really start telling the story.
Yeah. So I guess putting it together, watching it really take shape for its completion...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very rewarding.
Very rewarding.
Since we touched on the gear and low budget aspect of filmmaking, what kind of gear was used?
Well, there was. Now, I don't. What yours is a Sony, but I don't know which Sony it is.
It's a HDR FX1, which is the.
It is a kick-ass camera.
Yeah,
man.
It's a very good camera. It's the widescreen format high definition camera. It's the lowest end of the high end.
Yeah, and but I got to say, when you watch the video, the footage that stands out the most, and I don't mean to denigrate anybody else's, you know, equipment, or but the shots, like the night shots in Nyack, that's John's camera, and you can definitely tell the difference. Other than that, there was another photographer on the second part of the shoot named Tom Hobbs, who was very sweet, and he was chief cook, bottle washer, you name it. I mean, he came with lights and lights and gels and, oh, Christ, he had a whole van full of stuff. And he was using a Canon, I want to say it was an XL2. And that's pretty much it. The entire budget for this video, and now, again, bearing in mind, you know, people supporting each other, the entire budget for this video was under $500.
Okay. Basically lunch and dinner.
Yeah, and a couple people got paid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
All right, but because that is not the important factor, because what goes into that is so much more, and that's really it's not even part of the equation, the final result, what kind of dollars and cents go into it. Let's stay with the gear. Was there lighting? Was that natural light? Or?
All the stuff in Nyack was completely natural light. Okay, in the video you'll see there's a scene that takes place in a courtyard that was lit, not extensively, two or three lights, and then there's footage that's shot in my loft in Haverstraw where we wanted to simulate moonlight. And so the only lighting that was done there was in two separate scenes there was a single blue light. Other than that, there was one single blue light. We shot. I have inside my loft. I have like a little platform loft where my bedroom is. And when you watch the video, it doesn't look like it. It looks like the bedroom is right on the main floor with everything else. But we lit that with a blue light to simulate moonlight. And then there's a shot where I'm walking back, and you see me continually walking down a hall, and you see this blue light coming in through the window. Well, we actually – there's a fire escape outside of my
John's
apartment.
Hanging out the window.
No. Close. We actually – Tom Hobbs took a big light with a blue gel, and he actually strapped it with electrician straps to the fire escape outside my window. And that's how we got the moonlight coming in the window. And that's it.
Good. Okay. Because lighting is so important. But you managed to achieve a great illumination, and John's camera must be really super to capture that
totally.
Nighttime stuff. So
it totally
so
is.
Clear.
That is a great camera.
Right, well, thank you for sharing.
No problem.
The inside gear talk.
Look, and the other thing too is a lot of the other light. Like you'll see me walk past a bookcase at one point, and the bookcase is illuminated from back. That's like three of those little go to Target and buy it for $6 little gooseneck lamps, you know, without regular 60-watt light bulb in it.
Sure.
No, you know, it weren't rocket science.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so that would lead me to also, I thought of a question, and that was, were there clips that you didn't use? What wound up on the cutting room floor, as they say?
Who told you about that? I'm just kidding.
I mean, was anything that you maybe wanted to have put in there, but it just didn't fit, and they were great shots, not to say they weren't, you know, magnificent shooting or whatnot, but just because whatever reason.
This is actually a fairly amusing story about Mr. Hirst and Tom O'Leary. When they shot this, right, the way that we did it, because, you know, look, when you're doing a gorilla like this, and people in Nyack who make films, they all know this.
Yeah, I'm sure you got your permits.
Exactly where
that.
I was heading.
Yeah.
We didn't have permits or anything. So what we did was this. Now, for those of you who haven't seen the video.
Insurance papers.
There's this recurring theme that happens through it where I'm walking down the street looking for something that I can't find. And at first it happens during the day and then it happens at night. Well, what we did was it was very simple. We got the SUV and I said, what I'd really want to see is, if you think, forget about it, it's me, the subject that you're looking at through the lens. I wanted vehicles to be passing in between the subject and the lens. You know, that's kind of cinematic. So the way that we did it was I walked down the sidewalk on one side of the street. They drove down the street on the other side of the street, so there would be cars passing in between us, right? Well, the problem is this was Nyack at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just before magic hour, right, because we wanted that great light. Well, the problem is there are a lot of cars on Main Street in Nyack. So what we did was we just sort of came to this agreement. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We'll start going down the street, and when people start getting behind you and being really pissed off, then just, you know, just drive on. I'll stop. You can go around the block and come back, and we'll do it again, right? But unbeknownst to me, while they were shooting it, they had this beautiful stereo microphone open on John's camera. So I can hear, when I go back to edit, I can hear John and Tom talking, you know, about they inadvertently, and I don't know if this is a statute of limitations, but I'm just going to take a risk here. They inadvertently went the wrong way down a one-way street. And Tom sort of did an oath, and John said to him, and I don't remember it verbatim, but he said, well, you're an artist, right? And Tom said, yeah. And he said, well, and for an artist, moral universe is entirely...
An artist creates his own moral universe.
There you go. And I was like, I wanted that in the video. Other than that, no. Because everything was so, as John pointed out before, because I was so specific about what I wanted from an emotional perspective, most of what we shot was a feel of this or a feel of this. So I may have had 10 different shots of the same feel, but it wasn't like there was even dialogue.
Well, what kind of message were you trying to convey here, besides the loss of something beautiful?
I don't even know if it was the loss or something. I wanted
the misplacement of, or
yeah. I mean, for me personally, it's about the creative muse, and it's about having a creative part of me be awakened. And what I wanted to, I think what I wanted to communicate in it was that this was, as I said, I had this dream, and I woke up the next morning with the most profound sense of loss I'd ever had, and wept for nearly an entire day while I wrote the song, and couldn't figure out why. And I knew it wasn't the dream, because the dream was a dumb romantic dream. But I did want to communicate. I wanted to adequately communicate emotionally what I had gone through, because it was a gift. It changed my life. Having that dream changed my life. So what I wanted to do was adequately, emotionally describe both the highs and the lows of that dream.
Excellent.
And I think we did.
Yes. Well, if you're making something visual, there's just not shoot me walking down the street. There's usually some sort of emotional attachment to the illustration.
Yeah, it's true.
Always, especially in music videos. Yeah. Especially when it's not a performance video.
Right.
Because that's a different sort of conveyance and delivery of a message in front of a crowd. All right. Very good then. So how would you describe the style? If there was a description of style.
You want to take that first?
Well, it would be nice, John, if you did, because it's from an observer kind of, because Mark
and
has
also,
a style, and from an observer's POV.
It definitely has a verite style to it, because, as we said, there isn't really any lighting used, there isn't any special effects or any type of visual chicanery.
There was a little bit. I had to stretch the frame to get rid of Tom's spare tire on the back of his SUV on the next to the closing shot.
So I don't think that affects the style.
It does. If you watch it, actually, the whole street goes like, including myself. It's funny because it actually reminds me of a shot from Man Who Fell to Earth. If you watch it really carefully, everything goes like this: the buildings and myself and everything all stretch as it's pulling back, and that's because I had to cut out his tire. But so there was a little bit of special effects, but. No, I would agree with you.
And I don't think that there was any type of you didn't try to put any melodrama into your performance, really.
No, I think the song took care of that.
Right. I'm trying to think of some movies that or some videos that I could recall that whose style it's reminiscent of.
Well, it takes it to the street. There's a lot of street.
Mm-hmm. Almost all, actually.
Except for the bed bedroom scenes.
Yeah, we did a couple of shots were reminiscent of that. Is it The Verve who did that video, the Bittersweet Symphony?
Yep.
Where the guy walks straight along a London sidewalk for the duration of the song.
Right.
From what I understand, that song was shot, you know, all in one take.
Right.
And there were no, they didn't have any of their permits or any of
But that's the way to do it.
Right. The interaction with people on the street is actually real.
Right.
You know, with them reacting to him and
And it's interesting. It's as soon as you take all the detritus away, as soon as you take away all the lights and all that, when it ends up being just like a guy with a camera and you, the community reacts differently. We did there is a series of street shots that are not in Nyack. They're done right at the corner of Main and Broadway up in Haverstraw, and there was a point at which Tom Hobbs was doing camera from across the street from the Superstone Cafe up there, and. And there was a local cop walking, and he had gotten into his car, and we're all kind of looking, going, and especially Tom, who's used to shooting in the city and getting crap from police officers on a regular basis, we're all kind of cringing, going, oh no, here it goes. And the guy pulls his car into the middle of the intersection and blocks traffic for 20 seconds so he could finish getting a shot. And I was like, well, there you go, you know, there's local law enforcement support for local artists.
Did you get them in the shot?
No,
that's too bad. All right, well, we're running out of time here for Film Rocks.
And it does.
Her and I at Rockland World Radio. And
Deb, feel better, man.
Filling in for Deb Schufelt. But let's have a couple of just silly questions. How many emails are in your email list?
I don't know.
Email box right now.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay, what was your favorite band when you were 18?
When I was 18? Oh, man. It would have to be Bowie. Okay. David Bowie.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, and now what are you planning for distribution, and next projects, both of you?
You go first. This has been all about my stuff.
I recently completed my first feature film, entitled The Master Plan, and it is. I have it submitted to a couple of festivals, and hopefully we'll be hearing from them shortly. So. I kind of have that ongoing. I'm trying to put together another film, and it's in the early development stages. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, where can we see that? Is there a website? Do you have?
Yeah, I have a MySpace page. It's www.myspace.com/falseidolproductions. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And as for distribution of mine, the album is being sold through my website, www.montmarshall.com. It will also be available within, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks on CD Baby, and in probably about a month and a half to 2 months, because they take their sweet-ass time getting them up, on iTunes. And the album's called New Eye.
All the usual places, yes. Yes. The CD is called New Eye from Mark Marshall, and I hear that you're going to have a CD release party.
Yes, that's true. In fact, I was just going to mention that. There's a local magazine coming out in Rockland called MMZ. They're having a premiere party at Olive's on March 15th at 9 o'clock, and it's so we've turned it into a combination magazine premiere and CD release. I'll be playing at 9:30 with a live. I got a great band, a bunch of great players and singers. And so March 15th, Thursday, 9:30, no admission. Come on down, everybody. And actually, if you go to the website, there's a link to a PDF invite that you could forward to all your friends and come down and help us rock the house.
Mm-hmm. You told me earlier that you might be having the video displayed. Also,
this is something that we're actually working on. We're working on the technical aspects of this now. We're trying to see if we can work it so that we can actually have the video play in real time while we're playing the song live, right. Which will be interesting. If not, you know, maybe we'll run it afterwards. Or
if they've got a half a dozen television sets down there, we can pump it in.
There you go. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Mark and John, I'd like to thank you both for stopping by here tonight in Nyack.
Thank you for having
for
us.
Film
Thank
Rocks.
You.
Thank you for stopping by. And we look forward to hearing and seeing more from both of you.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks.
All right. And that's me, Richard Quinn here, filling in for Deb Schufelt for Film Rocks on RocklandWorldRadio.com. And we'll let Mark play DJ, and we've got these three, and perhaps...
Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah, here, why don't you play that one right there? I don't know which one it is, but let's see. I mean, I don't know which version, but what the heck.
Oh, it says misdirected.
Yes, misdirected, but I'm saying
that's
I don't know.
That's funny for Film Rocks, isn't it? Huh? Huh?
Okay. Boo. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, that's it. And here's we're going to leave you with Mark Marshall's Misdirected.
Yeah, it's another cut from the album.
She's misdirected. She's got pretty pictures of what the world's supposed to be. She's disconnected. She sings those pretty songs of love. Pictures of what the world's supposed to be. She's disconnected. She sings those pretty love songs, but she doesn't know what they mean. And she's got nobody home, and she's somebody don't need nobody. And she don't see how she's been torn apart, and she's lying in the dark, waiting for someone to open up her heart. Open her to walking proud and talking so tough, makes it easy not to look inside.
Look inside.
She turns the music up, but it's not enough, 'cause it's never enough to warm her frozen heart. And she's got nobody home. She